Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Music Addict Podcast with the awesome name Music Addict.
Because we're junkies, Tom. We're
the
music
junkies.
junkies.
Yeah, junkies could have been another one. I never thought about that. Music junkies. I guess I should check that domain. But ultimately, myself, Tom McDonough, and
Mark Taylor.
Yes, this is great. So this week, our guest is, or the, you know, I keep saying week, this episode.
This episode.
I did weekly episodes all the time for forever and a day. And it's just going to be a habit of mine for a long time. But this episode is the renowned Spikey.
Spikey. Yeah.
Spikey. Oh, I love man. That name, actually. It's pretty cool.
She's cool. I really like Spikey. She's out of Miami, I think.
I believe it's out of Miami. Yeah, Southern Florida, somewhere down there.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it's Miami. And
great social media presence, man.
Oh, I mean, she's master social media.
Absolutely.
We were just talking that one post said 25, just today, 2,500.
Yeah, I mean, she's doing the social media thing right. I mean, she's leveraging AI. She's always posting. She's really doing the thing, man. A lot of artists could learn how important social media is and just being consistent. She is always posting, man.
She does. If I'm not mistaken, she has a marketing degree, if I recall correctly.
Ah, so she knows.
She does. Yeah.
But you know, and her sound isn't bad either, man. I like what she's doing, man. She's got a good sound.
And no, do you remember me? My favorite thing is saying she is industry standard sound.
Yeah.
Industry standard is not a derogatory statement. It's not a just nothing statement. That means you have done it correctly with the industry current industry sound is you've done correctly and mastered it correctly. So I believe that she's definitely right in the ballpark of where she should be on sound and feel. And yeah, she's I think done extremely well on social media and gets enough engagement where it, you know, it isn't, this is real engagement. So she's got fans.
Yeah, she's got fans. I mean, when you look at her socials, big numbers, decent comments all the time. I mean, people are vested in what she's doing. And when you're an artist, that's one of the toughest things to do is to get people to actually comment, like, follow, whatever it is. But they're digging what she's doing.
Yes, that is the biggest. That is the biggest mountain to overcome is the likes, comments, and shares. It is an extremely ton. We know that.
Oh, absolutely.
And trust me, it is not the easiest thing. I get why artists have trouble with it. I totally understand it's a struggle. If I spend more time on social media trying to get things done than I probably would ever like to in a day.
Man, I hear you and me both.
Yes. We live off of social media because there's so many things to do that have to be done to make it work. So yeah. I get it. So artists, more power to you. And in her case, people need to take lessons from what she's done.
Absolutely. I love how she's using the AI. She's creating the character. She's always trying to push the boundary. And you got to dig that about her.
Yep. And she got the music. Great interview. She is one. I got to talk to her a couple of times, and wonderful. She's great to talk to. Engaging. I love talking about music with her. So it was a lot of. I think she's a lot of fun to talk with.
Absolutely, she really is, and it's cool. I think her husband was her photographer or something. I mean,
yes.
So it's just a nice supportive thing they have going. I like what they're doing, man.
I do too. Now, of course, we got to mention that we just ended a Reverb Nation campaign. So
nice. Those
who won that will be guests on this show. Another one will start soon. I congratulate everyone who just won. And we know we got a couple people coming on the next two episodes from now. We'll have one. And so I think it's really kind of cool because the next episode is Laura Cheadle.
Oh, great, great interview that one is.
Yeah, that was a great interview. So we got her and she was one of the prior ones from the last one, not the one that just ended, but the one before that. And then we'll start into this one's and then we'll start a new campaign. So everyone, please, we do listen to the music on this and we do pick people from this and we do this for a reason. because we want people to be engaged in that, and we want to be able to find artists other than just, you know, the ones that hear us on social media or whatever. We want to get people involved. And Reverb, thank you for all the hard work over all these years we've done with them, over many things. I do appreciate all their hard work. We will have some articles of Band Labs over on our on Music Addict. So
Nice.
again, Music Addict is full of a lot of information for artists.
Yeah, I'm glad that people are really starting to pay attention. It's getting hard to keep up. So many people are logging in, but it's such a cool resource. And you know, having Reverb Nation and BandLab, you know, sending articles over, it only adds to what we're trying to do, and that is to be a resource. For especially for the younger people in the music industry, trying to their go-to spot for vetted information.
Embedded information. So that is real, concise, and truthful information. We work hard at that to make sure it's truthful. I rather you, Mark, and myself believe in one thing: excellent information. I rather have extremely great articles and information than 10 mediocre. So I rather have one than 10 mediocre things put out. So we work hard at it. Our writing staff, I want to send a big shout out to our writing staff. They do extremely well, as well as our editing staff. So thank you for everyone who works so hard at that website and all what they do.
Couldn't do it without them, Tom. They
Nope, couldn't do it without.
work
Nope, that's it.
tirelessly. They put together some of the coolest images
Yeah, our
for
media team.
stories.
Yes,
And yeah, the
I
media team.
forgot the
Yeah,
media. Don't,
they're
yeah,
so
cannot
great.
forget the media team.
Yeah, those guys work long and hard, and they always save us, Tom.
They always do. And they got, we have that, we do stuff on Music Mondays. We have another thing that's coming, which I don't want to mention just yet, but we do have something else coming along that we're going to do that's going to be even more pretty much engaging for stories on Instagram, as well as we have Did You Know It facts.
Yeah.
And of course, everything we do in Reels and all that. So, look for more things coming from us. I get, there'll be another newsletter shortly. Which is packed with a whole bunch of information. We're putting more stuff in there just strictly to the newsletter alone. And by the way, did I mention the newsletter is free?
My gosh, such a great value.
Yes, it is a great value. Cannot beat that price. I know
You
it's a
can't
tough
beat
one and I know it's expensive, but it's well worth the price.
Well, it's well worth the price.
Yeah, well worth the right. You will get more than your money's worth out of it.
It'd be worth that at twice the price, Tom.
All right. Kidding aside, it is free and it is a good resource, and we do put a lot of stuff in there for artists and understanding how to empower them and to take over their careers.
Absolutely.
And we do have Pat, the back issues up on there as well. So.
Absolutely. You know, we try to be the place where if you're thinking, I wonder how you get this, or I wonder what do you do about that? We generally have an article or something in there that can help you along the path. So, if you haven't subscribed to our newsletter, please do. And if you have, check out the back issues because there really are some great articles in
Great,
there.
great articles. And one last thing I'd like to say before we go to that interview, for your
Yeah.
next musical project, make sure you check out Island Recordings, Island Chicago Recordings.
Hey, Tom, that's a
Just,
shameless plug, but I'll take it.
yes, it's
You know,
shameless that we plug
if
it,
you're in the
but.
Chicagoland area, man, Island Chicago Recording Studios, we are your vocal boutique. We will take care of all of your vocal needs. Yeah, check us out on Instagram, Island Chicago.
Shameless cannot be, but I again, it's worth mentioning because who knows, someone may be close by, and again, it's a great resource and a great place to go. So everyone, check out everything we have to offer. There's
Absolutely.
more, coming. We have more stuff in the works for the website at Music Addicts. There's a lot more in the works,
A lot more in the works.
a lot
Be on
more good
the
stuff
lookout.
coming your way. And
Be on the
yes,
lookout.
can't beat the price.
Oh, and again, concerts coming. We just did a big concert that went off really well, and we're looking for doing more concerts. And if you're having a concert or something, we'd love to come out and cover your concert. So.
Yes, we
You
just
know,
did.
look
Yes,
at
we
us
just
at
did
Music Addicts.
the we just did For the Love of Buddy Miles,
For the love of
second
Buddy
annual.
Miles.
That went off really well. Matter of fact, Ted Nugent did an interview and did nothing but rave about it.
Oh, raved about
Yes.
it was humbling how many nice things he said about the event.
And you know, I was going
I
to
mean, and
say
they
this.
said Nugent.
I went to Whiplash Bash as a kid in my teenage years for 7 years in a row, for 7 years in a row from my from teenage up. I went to that. I saw him every New Year's Eve. He is a phenomenal artist on stage, and for him to be as humble to the humble words that came out of his mouth about everything that Mr. Cassa, Mark Cassa, our partner, does for that, I'm all for it. I mean, we play small parts in this. I will give Cassa all the accolades in the
All the
world.
credit.
It is amazing what has been done on it. So I look forward to more. There'll be different concerts coming up. We also cover many different ones. This summer we got a couple festivals we're covering. So if anyone wants any coverage, get a hold of us at
Absolutely.
musicaddict.org.
Absolutely.
All right. Other than that, I have all I can say is on to our interview.
On to our interview. See you on the other side.
Hey everyone, I want you to welcome our next guest. I've always wanted to say this the way it is. The artist known as Spikey.
Very
Nice.
good. You got
I've
it
always
right.
wanted to do it
Hi.
because no one's name's been fitting in with the artist known as, but you know, because you can't, there's no one that has single names lately. So I haven't been able to do that in a while, but it's always kind of the thing in the back of your head, the artist known as Prince, you know? So I've always wanted to do that in that thing. So you gave me the opportunity. So welcome to the show.
Thank
That's
you.
right.
I like it. I like that intro.
So you've been in this. You know, you and I talked the other day. You've been in this industry a while. You did this from my end, which I do all the time for the back end within the record labels and all the things with to do with that, because everything at the record labels now everyone does everything. And you've had that end of it, and now you're doing it from the artist end of it, which is funny because the comment you made sounded exactly what I said when I started my musical project again was because of the fact that you're trying to get people to do things and no one will do it. I'm also just do it myself. So
Exactly.
it's a approval point, and I did that in saying that, but it's true. There's a lot of people who are out there music wise. So many artists don't know all how to do everything because there's so many things to do now that they don't have teams. They have, you know, an eye in team because there's hardly. There's too much music and not enough people working on the back end anymore. So artists have a harder time. So I get it from the thing. So you came along and started doing the artist end of it. And here we are with I got to ask, where did the name Spikey come from?
Everyone asks that. I have a very good friend. He's the godfather to my boys. His name is Terry Kirby. He was a former NFL player. He went to Virginia as a big college guy there, known very well there. And then he played for the Raiders and the Miami Dolphins
Yeah,
during
let's
the
say
Dan
that for the
Marino time.
Dolphins. Yep.
Yeah, running
I know
back.
that name.
Yeah, Kirby. Yeah, everyone.
Yeah, exactly. So, I used to, we had a charter school, so I used to run all the charity events and kind of manage Terry with all the interviews and radio and all that. And, you know, athletes are a little difficult. And I would be like, we got to be here at this time. Come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. Let's go. You're always in my neck. Spikey, the dog from Tom and Jerry. That's what I'm going to call
That makes
That's
sense.
awesome.
That's great.
You're named after the bulldog from Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, that's me.
I always liked the little hat on the bulldog. It was always so
That's
cool.
outstanding.
I'll do it myself when the
Yeah,
hat goes forward.
and so then he just called me that all the time. So then everybody started calling me that. And then when I got into the music business, that you know, I had a couple. I invited a lot of my music friends to some of our big charity events, and then they heard everybody calling me that. So then they started calling me that. And it just kind of spread. And so when I did the artist thing, I said, well, I definitely gotta say Spikey.
It's very cool. It's invigorating. It's kind of it's out, you know, it definitely has a name to it that you don't hear as frequent today. And most of the artists have these, you know, outlandish names, but I think that serves an interesting purpose. And now knowing the backstory, that's even better for live stage for the backstory, because most people will be able to relate to that remember Tom and Jerry, or I mean, everyone, I don't know how many people haven't seen Tom and Jerry, but it's still running in syndication today. So,
Yep, so that's me. So like my first logo when I did my spiky management was a bulldog, kind of not the typical one you see a lot, but a really cool like bulldog. And I used to use that a lot in the beginning when I was on the management side. So now, and it was like red and black, and now I moved into like pink and just like a font kind of thing. I don't know, like a transition of the
That's I never would have guessed. I never
brand.
would have guessed that that's the spiky.
Yeah.
That's so
And
funny. Yes.
there's like three other artists that are spiky. One's like Russian, and in the beginning my music kept on getting like mapped to all the other spikies except me. And it was like so frustrating to have to like get it all mapped right.
Wow.
So you had all those years doing the stuff from the record labels and doing the stuff from behind the scenes, and now back doing this as the artist. Now I've done it. I started out as an artist, then ended up in the back end. And it's interesting to see that the differences of the two sides. The two sides of the coin is different. And it is an easy transition for someone knowing that knowledge going from the back side to the front side versus the front side to the back. It is much easier now knowing that and knowing the different, the aspects of that. But one of the things, what do you think did you learn the most that you learned from the back end that was most important when you came onto the artist side?
I think the most important thing was the relationship building that I did while I was on the backside, because all, I weeded out the ones that didn't belong in my circle and, grew closer with those that did over the last 16 years. And so those are now the people that I still utilize, but I'm not the person supporting them and putting their information, like they're supporting me now. I'm still doing the admin, but it's like a whole like reversal, where I
Yeah.
was managing them, I'm promoting them, I'm managing their YouTube, their Reverb Nation page, and making sure everything's mapped properly and all that kind of stuff for three or four different artists, and then but who are also producers, who are also songwriters, who are also engineers. Like I always worked with the really, really gifted that just kind of were able to do all of it so well. So when it flipped, it was like right there for me. Like these people, I already knew how they were. They already know me. So then when the song started to develop, it was very easy for the team to put together lyrics that were really a biography of me. So each song is like another page in my biography. Like, you listen to my music, you get a feel for who Spikey is. Like, there's a spiky side where you're spicy, and then there's a sexy side where you're sexy, but you're not weak. And, like if I'm like this last song that dropped this Friday, I won't lose who I am. Like, that kind of came from like a backstory of just like some people thinking that I should go this or do it this way, or and it's like, no, that's not me. Like, I'm not gonna lose myself into going that way. I don't need anything that bad to go off my path of truthfulness and true to me and true to my team, and just stay focused on the goal. So that's kind of what's been really fun about my music now, is that it's really like starting to become the biography of everything that's going on. And this might sound like super crazy when I tell people, they think I'm crazy, but won't lose yourself. Like when I was in the studio, I just got like goosebumps, and I was like, oh my God, like I'm gonna have this song played at my funeral. Like, this is gonna be the last song, like after before everybody leaves, this is gonna be the song that's they're going to hit play, and then they can leave after the song. Because,
Wow.
I don't know, like, it's just, it really taught, it says who I am, and it's strong, and it's like, wow, yep, that was her, all right. Like, what a way to remember her. So I know that's kind of weird to like to that came to me, but, and I'm not that kind of person to think about that, but it just kind of came to me, and I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
It's music always should be with, I think, you always think of funerals, everyone always thinks they're sad, but I always thought they were celebrations of life. So music should be incorporated in that. And I've always been that belief that that's the way it should be. I've always thought of, well, what song are you going to play at these, funerals? It's funny enough, I've actually thought of that, not at my own, but everybody else's, like my parents and such. I've
Yeah,
always
for
been
my
that.
dad, for sure. Like he loved like Frank Sinatra, New York, New York, or I Did It My Way. He was like a big Frank Sinatra fan, and like so, I made sure we played I Did It My Way. Oh my God, everybody was crying, but I think a lot of people played that song. But that was the only time I thought of like, oh, I have to play this song for my dad, but never for me. It just kind of popped in my head, and I'm like, oh, okay, I guess this is what I'm going
Wow.
to do.
And you said that one you just did. It just came out.
It dropped Friday, last Friday. How many days ago? 3 days ago, 4 days ago.
Wow, you are a machine. You drop, what do you drop a song a week? Every
Every
2 weeks?
2 weeks,
Every,
because
because you,
with the logarithms on Spotify.
you dropped a Christmas song, right?
Yes. And then I dropped this one. And then this Friday is a remix and a radio edit of the Christmas song. A DJ producer in Sweden did it for me as a gift, which was so nice. He's like, oh my God, I love your song so much. Send me the stems again to do a remix. I'm like, really? And he did. And I'm like, okay, so is it gonna go out spiky, Terry Golden? No, I'm sticking to my techno. I just did this as the gift. I'm like, oh, that was so nice of you. So then I was like, okay, I gotta put this out. I love
Oh,
it.
that's so cool. I love Christmas music.
Me too. And I don't know why more people don't do it. I mean, they have this mindset. It's like, oh, only a little short span, but it's a little short span every single year for the rest of your life. And you're competing less with, there's not a lot of people doing it. So there's a need for it and there's less competition. So, go for something that can regenerate revenue annually without putting in any effort and can compete better.
It's
I mean,
right. It's mostly traditional music is out there, around the Christmas tree.
On the production side, what happens is when people are in the Christmas mood and they're ready to do it, it's too late because it's already Christmas. I'm like, when I had my label, I did a Christmas album every year, and I'm working on it in August when nobody's in the Christmas mood. So every year someone's, oh, let's put out a Christmas record. I'm like, okay, well, you got to write it now because it's Christmas. So that's why I think people just don't realize that by the time you're in the Christmas mood, it's too late for that year. So it's
No,
cool
it's
that
true.
you
I
got it
was
out.
in Amsterdam at the ADE in October, and I met with one of my producers there, Joseph. I'm like, Joseph, you've got to do my track for my Christmas song. It's got to get written, and I got to put it out next month. And like a couple of days later, I got the track, and then V and I got together, and that was it. The next day, I was recorded, and then a couple of days later, it was put up. So, but this one, me and Joe's had a lot of conversation about it because his wife is one of the like a big advisor on like all mushrooms and microdosing and all that and all that kind of health kind of stuff like that. And then he makes like mushroom tinctures and they do all this like really cool stuff. So he's like, oh, look at this video. I think this would be a great song like to do like about mushrooms. And I'm like, okay. Then I saw the video. Then I sent it to my team. We're like, yeah, let's do that.
I never knew that we could do so much with mushrooms, to be honest.
Man.
I know, right?
It's like I didn't, who would have guessed? But one of the things when she was talking about dropping so much music, one of the things her and I talked about the other day was catalogs and
Oh, yeah.
understanding what artists is not understanding is catalogs are real estate. They are
Yeah.
buying power or selling power in some cases.
Yeah.
And this is one of the ways that your music can get heard more in the 120,000 songs a day being released. It's you need multiple be able to be able to be found. You have to have multiple songs in a catalog. And that is relatively pretty important. So which is another thing you have, which you've learned and learned well from behind the scenes and understanding that.
Yeah, but I try to get, I mean, here I am, the person that would register it, distribute it, do everything. All they had to do was give it to me mixed and mastered, and they still gonna do it. And I was like, come on. I mean, like,
we understand so that.
Like, screw it. I'll just do that part too. I'm doing all of it.
Yeah, we understand that, because the plight of trying to get everything, you know, to obviously to distribute music, you got to have the list of things, and there's a lot of things to do, and you have to have them. And this is a standard list, you know. And most artists, when you're dealing with them, I either get songs that are not mastered, that are, I don't get everything that they're giving. And then that's the thing, is they, again, they're trying to master many things at once, which is very difficult to do. So us from the back end are like, okay, well, wait a minute. We need to get this, 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 and this, but we've done this for so long. We know that. And I have to keep reminding myself that not every artist understands that, because not every one of them's done it. Cause again, 120,000 songs are coming out all at once. That means there's a lot of people putting songs out, or a lot of AI music. One of the two.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. And my guy in Amsterdam's like always on, like, he loves all like that stuff, like that newest stuff, and he'll make things, like, he's really crazy. So he 2 years ago, he's like, Spikey, I'm going to take these vocal reference and I'm going to put it in. And I got this AI stuff, and then it's going to spit out your vocals because I got yours too. And then you'll never have to go in the studio again. I'm like,
there's a Spikey AI now.
There you go.
So he did it. And I was like, wow, like, that does sound really good, but I still can do it better, you know? Yeah. So we're at that point, and he's tried a couple of times, but it's still not like, it doesn't have the emotion. And I'm very big on, when I deliver, like, if the song, it has to be a part of me, it has to be about me, so that when I'm delivering it, it's like a natural emotion that's coming through my voice. And the AI, that was the part that, like, really lacked, you know, was like, I didn't feel like the emotion coming from the voice.
Just starting to get in the direction. And there's only certain genres that this can do. Country, it's got pretty well mastered into that end of the emotionality there. But AI is just starting, which we just got, what, 4.0, 4.1. Uh-huh. Just starting to go in that direction. So you're right. In the last couple of years of the span, that's one of the things that's slack. But I guarantee, one of the things we've, Mark and me have said, is by the time it's this end of next year, we'll never be able to tell.
It'll be indistinguishable.
Oh, that's cool. Because, I mean, I just, like, that's just what I heard and thought. So that's really neat that it is what it is. I was right.
It's great. It's good. It's got good and bad spots. Yeah. Right. Well, one of the things you've done right, and which is your imagery online, social media, have done right. You've had the balance between great imagery. You can, I mean, you obviously can model. You obviously can.
Thank you.
You can obviously do, you know, artistry, live stage, and I'm sure, based on, if I'm going to take the stab at it, you probably can act too, which would be the whole gamut of what everyone's looking for in a entertainment artist.
And I love the performance side of it. I really like that. I have only done 3 shows, because, you know, I'm so new, and but I have my dance rehearsals all the time, and every time a new song comes out, and I have, like, dancers, like, we have I'm ready. Like, I just gotta wait for the right promoter and the right things to align, and I'm sure it all will. But when it does, I always make sure, like, when that window opens, you better be ready to jump through it, because you're not going to get another shot. So I think that's a really important thing that I'd like to share with the audience as well, is that, you know, you cannot take this craft for granted, even though it's so wonderfully fulfilling to those who have that internal passion. You still have to be super careful and not lose sight that it is a business. And you have to be ready, and you have to make sure that you train, that you understand your pitches, and you do vocal lessons, and that even if you don't like to dance, you still should know how to move your body. You should know how to look into a camera. You should know how to speak. You should know how, you know, there's just things that make you a well-rounded individual. And if you highlight certain pieces of that to even more geared toward the music business, you know, then you're ready for anything, and you're never, you're, you know, you can apply for anything, you can say yes to anything, you know, like Honorable, one of my really good friends, and I've done some songs with, like, that's how my first show came. He's like, all right, Spike, next week I'm performing, but we're going to do our song together and you're going to perform. I'm like, okay. He's like, okay, yeah. And so when he saw me go on stage with two dancers and me and the whole thing, he was like, I was not expecting that. He goes, oh my God, you look like you've been doing it for 10 years. He goes, that did not look like your first show. I go, thank you. I accomplished my goal then.
So the statement you made in that whole presentation there, if I can bottle that up and give that to every artist and make sure every artist has it inside of them, that would be a perfect answer for everything that every artist should do, should think, and should honestly projectively have mentally in their head.
Yeah.
Most of them don't understand it's a business. Most people are struggling with that. It is a business because you have to turn your fans from being fans into selling.
Monetize, yeah.
Because you can't. It's, Mark said this millions of times, that music's a loss leader and it isn't what we're selling. You cannot make a living off of music.
Mm-mm.
Not anymore.
Sad, but very true.
Sad, but very true. But you got to find other ways to bring money in. And there's other ways. I mean, the industry hasn't changed except for how we make money. And but yeah, so that was I couldn't have said that any better. I have to admit that was well said.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, you know, because I mean, I'm on your podcast. So, I mean, I have a lot of, you know, experience and lessons to teach, and I love to mentor, and I know you guys do an amazing job of that with all of your interns. So, you know, so I think that it's important to give back and to speak some wise words of wisdom to those that are in entering or have been for a while and need to make a change because what they're doing is not working. Like, you have to be serious. You have to be focused. It's not about anything but that. You make your money and you invest in yourself, and you can't think that you're just, no one is going to put, it's not anything. People are too smart. Like, no one's going to do what I did 16 years ago and put money into something they have no idea about. I mean, that was the stupidest thing I ever did. But on top of it, it changed my whole life and I'm the happiest I've ever been. So, but you know, I had to turn that to gold. It was a big pile of shit.
Hard work. Yeah, you had a lot of hard work.
You know, that I had like turned to gold and double platinum with the August Alsina and like, you know, that shit contract and everything that went bad around that. Like, to be where I am now, like, wow, like I can't even believe it happened. It's so surreal because I was really like in a hole. So if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Influences. Go ahead, Mark. Go.
One of the things that so many artists seem to struggle with that you have a gift for, and Tom mentioned it earlier, was the social media. You really just seem to get it. How much time, or how do you dedicate so much time, because you're doing so many things? How much time, or how do you divvy up the time?
That's a very good question, because there's also days where I have to do the admin of it all as well. And it's like one's left brain and one's right brain. So my day has to be decided. Is this day or that day? And whichever day it is, I can't cross it, because then I'll get really stressed. And it's, you know, when I reside in the business part, like I have to stay like focused over here. And then when I'm on the artist part, then that's all about image, brand, what you're going to wear, how you're going to do, what the music is. So what I do when we travel, we'll always like rent like a nice house somewhere. And then I'll do like 5 days of like just content and bring everything with me, because I have my songs done ahead of time, you know, so I'm you know, have like my whole year almost done with 2 songs a month. I'm almost there for 2025. So I know what's coming. And because it turns every 2 weeks. There's a new song. The content stays fresh. So it's like I'm only promoting one song for 2 weeks. Then the next one comes and I promote that one. Then the next one comes and I promote that one. So it's like continuous, and it starts to like build on each other. You know, one starts to build and build, and then it gets bigger, bigger, bigger. That's how I'm seeing it. So the days that I'm doing content, it's like I'm only in creative mode. You know, like I'm okay, here's a song. This is the outfits, lay them all out. Okay, how many can I do today before I have to have dinner with the boys or I have a meeting? You know, like I'll schedule, like if we're in Europe, I'll schedule like business meetings or whatever I have to do there. And then okay, let's go to the beach. We're going to bring these swimsuits and we're going to do this content all here. And then at night we're going out. Okay, let's make sure we grab that. Let's put that behind this song, you know. So I use like a lot of my personal life to grab the content, and then it's there for when I need to use it. So we try to really stack up on it. I'm fortunate too, though. My husband takes all of my content. He does all the videos, he does all the pictures. So when we travel, you know, he has his whole gear and all that. And he never did that before either. This is like his second passion. He's doing something he's loving, and I'm doing something I'm loving. So together we're just like having a great time. And my aunt called my husband once and she says, "Frank, did you see that post of my niece on Facebook?" And he goes, yeah. "Well, you know, like, I don't think like those are appropriate." Like, he goes, "I took the pictures." Oh, our trouble. Like, she's calling him, like, telling on me that I have, like, this sexy pictures or video, I don't remember which one it was, on Facebook, and does he know about it? And he's like, "Yes, I know about it, and I'm the one who created it." Oh.
Yeah, that shut the door right on her on that statement, didn't it?
That's cool that you guys are both involved. It's got to make it a lot easier and a lot more fun.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, like it is because like our vacations are like, okay, I'm like, for sure we're going to Egypt. So then I tell my team, all right, I need a song that has like an Egyptian feel to it. So we created Freak, and it's got camel toe on camel, baby love in my feet. You know, it's like, it's really cool. And it's got this like Egyptian kind of music to it. So then I'm in Egypt and I'm taking videos. And then I knew that that song's going to get made. And then when I come home, I got my videos to match with my song.
That's great. So you're pre-planning all these things, which again, creative process comes about. Thinking ahead of time, you're doing things, you're at least planning all that. Again, it is one of the things that it's tough for everyone to do, but thank God your husband's been there to help you with that.
Oh yeah. That would be expensive to like have to bring a photographer with you. So, you know, I understand why a lot of them can't do it like that, but there's so many other things you can do just in one room. Just clean up your dirty clothes off the floor. And why do you got to show that you're a slob? You know, like, I don't know. Some of these girls, they're so beautiful. And then you look at the background and you're like,
what?
Why do they? I mean, you know, like, make a little corner, bit of pink, like, it's not expensive on Amazon. You can do such simple little things and all these apps and all this other stuff. Like, it's not, you don't have to spend money to do good content, you know? You really don't. You just got to think about it and be aware of what's behind you and, you know, blankets, color. There's so many things you can use. People don't know what they are.
Exactly.
You know, you just got to get creative.
The influences growing up, who do you think out of the music influences, who are your biggest music influences?
Well, I have to say, because my dad was such a fan of Frank Sinatra, like, I listened to that a lot. And I do enjoy that, you know, like, I just think that era of music was just its own little Real Hollywood kind of shit, you know?
Sinatra's the best.
And then I was very much into like the Rolling Stones, the Who, the Doors and stuff, like through high school and all that. And my dad played in a band. He was a drummer, and so did my brother. And but my sister and I, we focused mostly on dance. So we danced all through from since we were five all the way through college and even after college. So but my brother and dad were more onto that. But we did take piano. That was like a mandatory. So every Sunday we went to piano. And his name was McKeever Smith. He taught at the Easton School of Music and he taught us at his home. And his wife would like make cookies with us and play Uno while one would do the lesson. And then we would just rotate three times. And then my parents would come and pick us up. It was like so but after a while like that got a little boring, you know. So I didn't really like it, but now I wish I stuck with it more because wow, could I use it now. Like but all the other stuff I did when I was younger and the interest that I have, they have become so like valuable. Like really valuable, like all the stuff I just know that I don't even know how I know it, you know. So I think that's like one of the advantages of being a little older when you're starting the artist career is that, you know, you're a little wiser and you're a little more creative and you kind of know a little more just because you're older, you know.
Exactly. Yes. And yes, there the Doors, phenomenal. The Rolling Stones, phenomenal. All great music.
Michael Jackson, too.
Yeah, Michael Jackson.
His concert was, like, awesome.
Michael Jackson's 1984 Thriller was, right?
Yeah.
Or was just, it was probably still the best album of all time, actually. And really yeah. Looking at albums as a whole, you know, there's so much great music in that time. And then now, but back then, artists had to know everything. You had to
yes.
know where to stand, how to do this, how to do that, mm-hmm. how to get on and off the stage, how to talk to people when you're not on stage, let alone being able to play mm-hmm. one instrument, if not more than one instrument, mm-hmm. understanding how to, what, you know, notes, songwriting, yep. understanding music theory, all mm-hmm. these things that were different, of course, and being a very good player at your instruments.
Yes, so, yes.
Today has changed.
And I think the label, though, at that time, or the publisher, I don't know what side of it, but I think they also developed, you know, they were there.
Labels developed, yeah.
Into the development part of it. And now it's like you come ready or forget it. We're not going to develop you anymore.
Too much music. The answer to that is this. Too much choices in music out there for mm-hmm. not to be able to do it. Looking at the label side, you can't recover money mm-hmm. in the music, dropping it in. You want ready things. Why would you want to spend
yeah.
money to get them in that direction?
Yeah.
The developments have gone out the door because so many people are doing music. And it's so much easier to do music. AI has made it yeah. a lot easier.
Yeah, that's a whole
other talent
step.
To be able to do it. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it is an interesting change in how that went. I mean, the way you got into the industry was by happenstance.
With a criminal who went to jail.
Yeah, exactly. It was happenstance how you did it. But it was an interesting fact of how you turned. And so you had such a battle to get where you were at. And you dug your feet into the ground and you did everything you were supposed to going forward. Now, I mean, granted, it's our age group did grow up with the work ethic. Uh-huh. Today's Gen Z is not, they have had a bit of an easier time than we had in our time. Or is it just maybe because we're getting old and we think that way? I mean,
well, Dan,
it's true. I did get away with a lot at that age.
If you could sell a picture of your feet for $500, or you could go work three nights and be a waitress. What's easier?
No,
I mean, that's what's going on right now, you know, like OnlyFans and stuff. Like these girls are making a lot of money.
Yes, OnlyFans has certainly given an interesting fact of an open area for them to do it in a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
That is an interesting point. Way you're right. Technology has gotten us to this point. After TikTok's, I mean, TikTok will fall. TikTok did build some things there too. TikTok mm-hmm. will fall based off of the you know, legalities coming about. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Right? They only have like another week to sign or something.
Yes, they have another week to sign, or they're gone on the 19th of next month. Yes.
Oh, Trump will love that too because he's always wanted to get rid of that.
Yes. So that one's, I think we'll see how that falls. But as that changes and what will come next might be a mixture of what we see in social media overall, which could bring into, again, the thing with looking at the Nickelodeon and Disney kids, they got to a point where they've been the best music
Right.
artists. There has been and ever will be, because they were trained for such an early age through. Try to take some.
And think of what, the fan base, how they,
Yeah,
they.
they drag the fan base from you, right, from that intro.
Yeah.
So
Yeah,
it's
as they
ready
grew
made.
up.
But they've also discovered now that they can be in social media influencers, and you're right, sell from their bed and just sell a product instead of actually working on these things constantly. I mean, if you
So
look.
that skill of like thinking ahead and planning and setting that goal and reaching it step by step, that whole strategy and philosophy and way of thinking is like almost becoming obsolete, because if you could just take a picture and post it and know how to type to somebody, then what do I gotta think ahead for? Tomorrow I'm going to do the same thing.
Same thing, and that's the ironically was what one of the things. Sure, I think social media, I hate to say, social media has made us lazier in some ways,
Sure.
because we have, it's not because of our brain and lack of being able to do it. It is the ease
Yeah.
and availability to do it.
Right.
That's what's made
And
us.
to sell something to how, I mean, millions and millions and millions of people. So you only need to sell a little to a lot of
Yeah.
people and you make a lot of money.
Exactly. So I think that there is some definite social media has had some advantages in that fact for them and in development. I do also think social media has paid really well. I mean, look at Cardi B coming into the industry with 9.5 million followers, and that helped her career along the way.
Sure.
Taylor Swift has made this a made it's obviously political. And uses social media to that advantage, as well as selling. I mean, she has started out selling to the under 13 crowd, the biggest buying group because parents buy. And so she's done that right. I think that social
Yeah,
media
they
has
grow
helped
up
and
either.
hurt at the same time.
Yeah. And those little girls that are now like, young adults, they grew with her. So her biography of her song and her life and her lyrics have become they've like adopted that and lived through her music. So that's why it's like such a deep connection with those fan bases of those kind of artists, because like you listen to someone's music faithfully for all of those years, and if the music is written by the artist and it's coming from and it's talking about heartbreak or boyfriends or whatever, then your fans feel closer to you.
Yeah.
And they feel more connected like family. And the better you do it with your lyrics and the more your lyrics and your image and your brand match, then it's believable, like, so even if it's not believable, you got to make it believable. Like, they all have to match, and the more it matches and the more cohesiveness you have, the more realism you're portraying, and that's where you get the fans. They want real people. They don't want like fake,
No, they don't. And going so coming into 2025, like you said, you have planned for two songs a month, and hopefully some touring in the middle of the summer area. So you have so that's 24 songs already set up and already set. We've already thought about the content of the video. I mean, obviously you're thinking video content already long before the song gets into creation, based off your Egypt. Description. So I'm assuming you have all that done. Well, you guys are a machine.
It's just me and me and Frank and my writer and a couple producers, and that's about it. We do a lot.
Again, you can't. It's tough seeing some artists get one or two songs done sometimes. It's not as easy. And like I said, as you're discussing, you're going into the punk rock type sound. So you're shifting
Yeah, I
gears
like
from
to.
EDM popping
Yeah.
to punk rock sound, which
Because,
is.
my days are different and my moods are different and the things that happen to me are different. And some days it's a sad thing. Some day it's a boss ass thing. Some day it's like, hey, I'm gonna go party. Some day I'm thinking like Universal and crystal pieces in my head, and one of my EDM techno song comes up, so it's, and oh, I'm sipping in it. You'll find me sipping on in Ibiza. I travel like a visa, like it's all like just things there where I am or what I'm doing. So that's why you're never going to get like that same style, because the way we write, it's like boom, 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 boom. You know, like it's just happening. It's, there's no time. And it's never like, we look for quality, sound, a nice hook, you know, that fits within what we say it should be at the very least, you know, and then we don't question, oh, should we put it out? If it's a good song and it's good quality and it's a good sound and it's got a good message in it, we put it out because you know what? You don't know. Just like a painting, you don't know. You can never know if it's going to be a smash or not. You can put as much money as you want into something and think it's so great, but if someone doesn't like it, they don't like it. It's art. It's subjective. There's no form. There's a formula to making them. There's a formula to branding and marketing and statistics and all of that stuff to analyze, but you cannot tell if someone is going to love the song or not. And some of the ones I put out that I think, I don't know, those are the ones they're loving even more. And then the ones I'm like, yeah, this is like a banger. It's like, what? They don't like this? You know, it's like, you don't know. So I'm not going to keep them on a hard drive collecting dust. I need to turn them all into revenue. So they're going out. And they go. I think I have three so far in the 2.5 years that have not gone out, and one is gonna go out. I'm just waiting for the right moment, and the other two just, I don't know, like I don't know if my deliver, I don't know, they just didn't cut it, like, but that's it out of all of the ones we've done.
Nice.
You know, it's funny because when you mentioned your influences and then I thought about the music I've heard from you, I was like, well, you don't normally hear a Frank Sinatra influence going into doing the punk music thing, but now you're just always evolving. You're always changing the sound.
And there's a song in my catalog. Is it? I think it's I know. Yeah, it's got to be I Know. And in there, you're going to hear the New York, New York kind of horns in there. Like we took some of that stuff out, and like not enough to where we had to like sample it, but where it's like it's in there, you know, because it was like I was really like, it was that month was like when the month of that, you know, I had been, you know, his anniversary of his death. And so I was like, you know what? I got to do something Frank Sinatra. So I sent New York, New York to the producer. And I was like, I need a track and you got to have it sound like this.
Nice. And you have a track, what, Uncensored? That's the name of your album when it's coming out?
The project, yeah.
So is it going to be a bunch of the records that you've already done put together, or is it a whole new body of work?
It's a new body of work, but I did release Sex Drive from that one, and then Side Bets will be coming out in the first one out of that project in January. But so I put out Sex Drive because it's with Honorable, a reggae artist that he's done a lot with Pitbull and stuff. He's like a legend. He's become my best friend. I love him to death. He's always there for me. And I was supposed to do a collaboration with an artist in Europe, and I sent it to her with the space, and then she sent it back. She's like, oh, I don't know. I'm really just not feeling it, because it's like a EDM rocky kind of feel, this one. And I was like, okay. So then I was like, oh, Honorable's going to kill this, because he's kind of like me. He likes to do a whole bunch of different things. So he sent his bit, and then he like killed it. He's like, oh my God, Spikey, I love this new sound. So I was like, all right, let's put this one out as the first single, but no one really knows it's the first single to the rock project. Gotcha. And then I have a big song, though. My biggest song for that song is called Smile, and it's with Chris Kiss from London. Oh,
Chris. Yeah, Chris, I know Chris.
Yeah, and oh, he did such a great job, and he's going to be here in March for the music festival, and then we're gonna film the video. So that's like that song. I'm really excited for that one. That's the sound, like it's a punky, rocky sound, and it's just sassy, and it's like really super cool.
Awesome. Well, that's good that again, you said networking was really important, which I 100% or 1,000% want to implore to people to understand that it is about the connections you make. It's not only about the music, but about the connections, because it takes people to make things happen, as let alone. What is the point of singing? If you just put a song out and there's no one else on the planet but you, Just you're gonna eventually get sick of that song, listening to your own song. So ultimately, you need people to listen to it. But networking gives you the ability to have more people, more ears, and more hands onto the project
And
to
the
get
one other
feedback.
thing I would like to say to everybody too is collaborate. Collaborate with other artists. Why artists don't collaborate more, I have no idea. It's so easy. You go on social media, you hit them up. I love your new song. You get to know them. Hey, let's do a song together. Oh yeah, well, okay. Send them a song, give them the space. They jump on, they send you the file. It's done. It's really that simple. It works like that. You get your song done, you leave the open space, you send it to them through an email, they send it back, they send you their vocal stems, you make sure you understand what the splits are, the publishing, you get their information, boom, and it's done. And you could do those all day long. You don't have to fly anywhere, you don't have to go anywhere. Collaborate with people in London, collaborate with people in Australia, New Zealand, wherever, like all over the world. The world is that one button away. Use it. You become an international force. And then when something breaks, you're bigger. Like an international artist makes way more money than just an artist only in America, you know? And it's super important to collaborate, work with different producers. Everybody loves to work with people from America. They love it. They love top lines. They love American vocals, you know, without their accents. Like, there's so much opportunity. Like, don't think like only America is your stomping ground. Expand and network outside and do collabs with everybody, as many as you can. And that helps a lot.
Exactly. Amen. It's so true.
I couldn't
And
say it better.
you've gotten all the you've hit the key points of everything that we say in a given day to a lot of artists. And it's sometimes I feel like I'm like repeating so many times, but it is just so monumentally important for success for people to understand that collaborations are huge.
And
Collaborations help.
girls can't be haters, you know, like you see a really hot girl artist, message her, man, you look so hot in those shorts. I love it. Like, you know, embrace women. Don't like be hating on women. Embrace women. We're more powerful together. Like, embrace each other, support each other, you know, like be there for each other. Don't hate on each other. Like, everyone, you know, you can all have value together, of more value as one all together than by yourself. So collaborate, work well with others, play well with others, and love others. Love, love. That's very important.
That,
That's why everyone should be a musician.
yeah, exactly.
Right?
More love in the air, yes. Much
Yeah, you
more
know,
love.
I had a person that was kind of helping me a little bit, and we kind of went our own ways because really wasn't delivering. And we had done a couple songs together, and they were out, and for him, like his biggest ones ever, streaming wise. And he says, "You know what? I want you to pull those two songs down." I said, "What?" I said, "What does those two songs have to do with this? They're like two completely different things. Why are you bringing that energy into something that was created so like wonderful with such good vibe and such a great song?" I said, "I'm sorry, but I'm not taking those songs down because they have nothing to do with our business relationship that's over. Like, that's crazy. Like, to bring that into that." Like, I'm like, I'm not, you know, like when the music is pure and all of this, and then you bring some of that up, it's like, I don't know. I don't like when that happens.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's
messy
unfortunate.
business engagements are sometimes tough, and I know I
Yeah,
hate.
and it wasn't even really that messy. It was just like, okay, you know, let's part ways. Like, I don't, you know, well, there wasn't even anything like unethical about it. It was just a decision to like part ways because I didn't feel like it was a good match anymore. It was done very professionally. So then when it came back to saying, take the music down, I'm like, what? Like, how does any of this go together? I mean, it came out of the blue and like, take the music down. What does that have to do with the fact that we're not going to work together anymore?
People make funny decisions from
a place of anger or emotion. Never make decisions on emotion. Yes.
Yeah, and that's why, like, with the music, it's so pure. It's like, I like to just keep it that way, you know, with who I work with, when I work, and when, you know, like, everything is about the feeling of it and the energy that where it came from and how it was processed. Like, I'm very big on all of that. So with my music, like, it has to be all zen, you know?
It's got to
come in and go out and have the vibe and the feeling and, like, can't get disrupted.
If you're ever in Chicago, you got to come to my studio. I'd love to have you down.
I would definitely do that. I will definitely hit you up if I get there.
As much as you travel, you got to come through Chicago. Not in the winter, but you got to come through, and I'll make space. We will have a ball.
Oh, that's so nice of you. Thank you.
Yes,
and I was talking with Tom before about you know, seeing like some kind of consulting, or you guys have so many different things that you can pull from, because I'm this year is like, I really want to like get this to the next level now. Like I need to step up. Like I have a nice, good catalog. I got some really cool songs coming out. Like, you know, like I'm settled where I could go now to the next level, but I can't do it alone anymore. Like, the next level takes some extra things that don't work with just me and my husband and my little team, you know, like, it's kind of, if I'm, you know, I could just stay like this forever, or I can say, all right, let's go. Now it's time. Let's pull the trigger, you know? And so, you know, I'm going to get a song. Like, I'm not stopping until there's a song that everybody in the world knows. So, but I think I can do it this year. I've got some really big collabs coming up with some big DJs, and the one just got signed to a big label in Europe that we just found out yesterday. So there's like a lot of good stuff happening. And if I do the right things with some of my stuff paired with all the other seeds that are growing, and some are going to flower really big, I think it's got to be this year.
You have a big, strong 2025. So you definitely have a lot of, you know, outlook coming with that. So mm-hmm. It definitely, there's a lot of positive notes behind that. I mean, you have this stuff pre-planned, you have, mm-hmm. you have a goal, and you have a direction of which this goal is going. Mm-hmm. Very few people have a goal beyond 2 months. Most of them don't have a 12-month goal, you know, mapped mm-hmm. out. Not a lot of them do. Most everyone's trying to go with the one or two songs, at least put one out, find out the reaction. But the problem is most of them end up having some mild success and repeating it and then doing it 18 more times, hoping one of them takes it. And the problem with that is that it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you have to take the analytics from the first one or two and decide, okay, is it, we have a mild success, but what's missing? And mm-hmm. that's where a lot of the artists get caught up into this repetitive, just dropping songs out, and that mm-hmm. they don't see it because it's in a box, and they see some success. So they're hoping something will keep kicking because they see a little bit of success. And the problem is, again, 120,000 songs are being mm-hmm. dropped rapidly, and that's too much supply and no demand, and that's saturated. And that's where pre-COVID, those were good notes of what they were doing. Post-COVID, this does not work anymore. That's very true because
that's a whole nother story about what I did during COVID in an Afrobeat project that I took to a whole nother level, but that's like for a whole nother thing. But that's a very cool story, and that was like dirt before and all during COVID. So things have dramatically changed since after COVID, hugely.
And nobody in the industry is talking about it. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. So now there's not like a lot of information of everyone understanding. There's no guidebook to say, hey, this is what you need to do. And that's what's missing from the industry mm-hmm. at this moment. And that, and again, you have a great successional plan for this year with two songs a month. You have a chance for one of out of 24 songs. You have a chance one of them will get traction, and then you can build off that traction, or you can at least take the analytics for the first 2 months out of four songs and say, all right, this is not working. Go back to what do we got for the next eight? You know,
but if, If I don't do like one of them, like major radio, like, you know what I mean? And have like a, I gotta have people that have power now. Like, you know, like I'm limited now. Like when you're an independent artist, even if you've been in the game a long time, you know, a lot of people, like there's still a ceiling there that only certain people can like then get you noticed through that and say, okay, we're going to go there. This is, you know, like I have to have more of a power, knowledge, door opener, people like that are there for me, that's what I'm missing now. Like, you know, like I have to have like kind of like a major label or someone like that has those kind of skills or avenues, because you know, like if I'm not, if you know, all the huge playlists are all owned by a major, so I got to go a little of a lot. So, you know, for me with my curators, you know, if I don't like email 300-400 curators every time a song comes out, which is 800 emails, and depending on the genre, you know, it's all different, you know, then how, you know, that's a lot of work to get. Okay, this song's in 268 playlists. This song's in 395 playlists. This one's in 125. And then remember, they keep them there maybe 2 weeks, sometimes a month. If I email them 30 days, and then maybe if they start to like me, which they are now, they'll keep them 60 days. So that's why, again, if you're not dropping new stuff, the other playlists fall out and then your listeners bottom out. So it's like this juggling act. Like you have to keep it going to keep when the new playlists come off to the other ones go on, you know, like that's why the 2 weeks is there, because if not, then the ones that you got and there's no new ones coming because they put new people in. So they don't have a new song. They rotate those lit playlists every 7 days, every 14 days. You're lucky if you get 30, and you're super lucky if you get 60, you know, so unless I am with a major or something where they own these playlists with millions, you know, one of the Spotify editorials or whatever, it's not going to happen for me, because I see it. Like I see what I do. I watch those numbers. I know all the curators I know all over the world. I know my music gets in all these playlists all the time. But, you know, like by the time the next one comes out, my single might be at between 25,000 to 45,000 streams. Then the next song comes out, and then all the focus is on that one. And then that one maybe will grow another 5,000 that month, another 2,000 the following month, another 1,000. You know, like, and then at each of the, you can see the whole catalog. You look at the first song, and then you go 60 up, and you can see these are getting 5,000 a day. This one's getting 3,000. And then the very other songs from like 2 years ago, they're getting 10 or 20 streams a day. You know, like you can watch it all go down. And it's, you know, like even with the Europe and all the techno people I'm doing stuff with and their fan base, like they're so popular. They've got like multi-millions in their first five of their Spotify. So how am I going to get my song with them in their top five, like 10 million, 20 million, 8 million? So when I release a song with them, it's really not showing right there in their top five for me to get noticed with them. So that's the other thing. Like it's difficult unless you get an editorial and you've got, you know, and in order to do that independently, the pitch that you have to submit and what you have to go through, if it takes me longer, I'd already have four songs out.
Yes, it is. Yeah. That's where a lot of people get caught up into the cycle. And it is true. Yeah. But it is. I've never said this industry has been easy.
No, but
it's a tough industry.
So yeah. I don't know if you guys want to relook at what I'm doing and see if maybe you think that you could bring value to help me like get to that next level, or maybe you'll come back to me and say, you know what, Chris, like I think you're too old, or whatever it is, you know, like just honesty, or yeah, shit, like I think you can, and you know, maybe this person can help you, or we want to help you. Like I would love, like, you know, if you would think about that.
Well, you know, I know we're running long. I've been enjoying the conversation so much. I do think Tom and I, we both have a passion for trying to help folks. So, you know, we can, you know, we'll circle back around. But I'm certain that you have certain things going for you that most artists don't have. and so much is what networks can we combine to get the best success. So I don't want to speak for Tom, but I will say that knowing him, we like to help people. So let's, you know, we'll circle back around. Let us take a good look. And
thank you.
If we can help.
I'm talking like billable stuff. Like, you know, I understand this is business. So, and just to be able to get in front of two people like you that are reputable and real, like people that know shit, not these little kids making decisions and I know more than them. This is just, I mean, a dream come true for me. I can't thank you guys enough for this opportunity, just to be able to speak with you, just for you to be say a few things to me that say to me, you are thinking right. Because, you know, I don't talk to all these people. I just do. So sometimes I don't know if I'm right or wrong. I just think that. So when you guys say it, I'm like, oh, I'm right. It just gives me validation, you know, like, yeah, okay, like, you're thinking the right way, because I don't talk to people like you guys, you know?
And right. Just for the audience to know, we didn't pay her to say that.
No, but, you know,
but thank you.
I didn't even know we were still doing the show, but you yeah, no, that's right. That other stuff.
I can kick this out.
Then we can talk offline.
Yeah, let's just end this. I'll kick that stuff out from that period of time because
we'll pull that off the recording.
I can take the 10 minutes out.
You guys are great. And
yeah, we can do that.
I never wanted to look like the show was a pitch to try to get business.
Yeah.
Because that's not what it's like.
No.
No, I know it's not. I brought it up to Tom. No,
since we were still recording, you know how the internet is.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Yeah. So
it's not what you did, it's how it looks.
Yeah. Yes, so let me end, let's end this, the interview itself, so we can go off. So we have outtakes. So, so again, again, we're looking forward to your music for 2025. And all the things you could bring in there. I mean, 24 songs is exciting to see. So maybe we can have you back on next year.
Oh, I would love it.
Talk about some of the songs. And thank you for being on the show.
Oh, and thank you so much for the best opportunity ever. I had a great time with you guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
You are so welcome.
Thank you.